My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Congressman Joe Wilson, who represents the Palmetto State's 2nd Congressional District. He joins us today to talk about a number of topics, including the latest push for an increase in the debt ceiling, which the president plans to make in a formal request quite soon. He originally tried to do that during the holidays, but then agreed to postpone it until lawmakers actually return from the holiday recess. And Congressman, it's good to have you with us.
Greg, it's great to be with you. And again, I appreciate so much you raising important issues to the American people.
Well, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you about this, sir, is because you're one of a select number of Republicans who voted against the extension of the debt ceiling back in the summer, and even against the Boehner plan for doing so. At the time, you said, and I would imagine you still believe, that it's time to actually cut spending and not do so in a way that merely nibbles at the edges over time. What's your attitude as you prepare for this next request from the president?
Well, I'm even more concerned, Greg, because back in August when the debt ceiling was raised, there was a good faith agreement by my colleagues that there would be the super committee, there would be a cut in spending of $1.2 trillion of additional cuts. None of that came to fruition. Even worse is what we're faced with now, and that is that the president today has asked Congress to provide for an automatic debt increase of $1.2 trillion, and within 15 days, if we vote against it or vote for it, the debt limit will go up.
And that's because of the condition that was in the previous agreement where the president can basically veto your rejection of it. But what rhetorical stand and what can you make at this time, and what demands do you think you're in position to make for the next time there is a real debate over this?
Well, sadly, this actually punts the issue of addressing real, substantive, meaningful reductions in spending until after the election. And I'm very, very concerned. This should have been done prior to the election so that the American people could judge the efforts that are being made to be fiscally responsible.
Congressman, what were you looking for last summer? I believe you supported cut, cap, and balance, which ended up dying in the U.S. Senate. But if, in fact, this does come back around, and I'm sure it will even after the election, what will you demand before any sort of addressing of the debt ceiling in the future gets a yes vote from you?
Indeed, you hit it on the head, and that is that there was a viable alternative to raising the debt limit, and it was cut, cap, and balance. It was a significant cut in the budget. It was a cap so that it wouldn't proceed beyond the debt limit that we had, and ultimately to balance the budget. This is what every household does. In fact, going back to, say, a balanced budget, 49 states have a balanced budget requirement. This should be very imminently available and so important for the future of the people of our country.
Now, when you talk about cut, cap, and balance, to refresh people's memories, is that cutting the projected growth in spending, or is that real-time cuts?
It was really real-time cuts. And we know that with the phenomenal increase in spending that's occurred under this administration, that you could go back to the funding levels of 2007, possibly 2006, and it would be a reduction, but it would be at a level where we know that it previously was sufficient. But in the meantime, under this administration, there has been an extraordinary increase in spending.
Congressman, there are some groups out there saying that this last debt ceiling debate and the frustration with the aftermath of it, with the super committee failure and so forth, that it's time for folks to just say, no more deficit spending, not just holding the line, but perhaps once Congress actually has the power to say no again, even if that means just going with the existing revenues that would pay down the debt and provide funding for essential services. Are you ready to go to that point?
I certainly would, and I know it would be tough, but I do know this, too. The extraordinary borrowing puts the senior citizens of our country at risk with the value of the dollar, and then we're saddling the young people of our country with phenomenal debt, and which they, over a period of time, will have to pay. And then in between, for all of us, the debt service will certainly rob our ability to have discretion on how we can provide for national defense, for national security, protecting American families.
Congressman, you led me right to my next question, because the one area where the president has said in recent weeks that he is ready to cut back in is defense spending, going back, cutting troop levels a little bit, redeploying our forces around the world, less in Europe, more in Asia, streamlining the armed forces, so to speak. That's to the tune of $450 billion over the next decade. And of course, if sequestration continues, there's hundreds of billions of dollars more in that arena. What do you make of the president moving forward in that area, and what do you make of his proposed cuts?
Well, it's really sad that he's actually proposing a reduction in of our military, the Army, and the Marine Corps of nearly 10 to 15%. This puts America, I believe, at risk, because we need ground forces, because the enemy we're facing are asymmetric enemy. These are people who violate the law of war. They do not have uniforms. They use women and children as human shields. They use mosques as centers of military operation, and truly the only way to be effective against such heinous enemies that we have, and they're sadly well-educated, well-financed, we must have ground troops.
Congressman, funding does start in the House of Representatives, although it takes more than just that to get it enacted, but where do you sense that you and your party are ready to draw the line when it comes to defense spending?
Well, I'm just confident with the leadership of Congressman Buck McKeon, Chairman of the Armed Services Committee, that we will be working to highlight this issue. The American people need to know the risks that are being unnecessarily, I believe, created for security purposes. And my goodness, Greg, we're at a time where Iran is flaunting its ability to develop a nuclear weapon. We know it has missile capability that can strike southeastern Europe all the way to the west and to the east India. We know that they're forming alliances and associations with enemies of the United States throughout Latin America. We know that they're providing the IEDs, which are killing people in Iraq and have over the years, and in Afghanistan. This is a rogue regime, and then we have the instability in Pakistan, which is a nuclear country. We have the extraordinary spectacle of the dictatorship in North Korea, totally unpredictable. We have instability across North Africa. We have pirates, of all things, in the Indian Ocean. This is not a time for us to not understand that there are international terrorists, again, well-financed, well-educated, who desire the destruction of the United States and our allies. They've identified very clearly when they carry a sign in English, death to America, death to Israel. It doesn't require any interpretation.
South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson represents his state's 2nd Congressional District. Please look for the second half of my conversation with the congressman as we shift our attention to his thoughts on the upcoming South Carolina Republican presidential primary, which is a week from Saturday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.